Heavenly Father, we bless you for revealing your Son to us, not through the wisdom of man, but it is through your grace, as Peter confessed Jesus as the Messiah and Son of the living God. Open our hearts now to receive this same truth afresh, that we as your church may further build up upon the rock of Christ's identity, for the gates of death have no power over it, and that with renewed faith confess Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Our passage today is one of the most important and theologically rich passages in the Gospel of Matthew. It's important in the sense that you will find God's revelation to Peter of who Jesus really was. And from that revelation, Jesus said he will build his church. This has taken place in the district of Caesarea Philippi, located north of Galilee, which is associated with political power, pagan worship, and imperial influence. With this backdrop, Jesus asked his disciples a question that becomes central not only to the passage but to the whole Christian life. Who do you say that I am? The passage begins, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?'" Jesus first asked about public opinion. The disciples answered that some identified him as John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others as Jeremiah or one of the prophets. People regard Jesus with respect and acknowledge him as special. But their opinions stay incomplete. While calling him a prophet is right, it does not encompass his role as the fulfillment of God's promises and the supreme self-revelation of God. Then Jesus moves from the public opinion to a more personal confession, turning directly to his disciples, saying, "But who do you say that I am?" It is not enough to know that others say about him. The disciples must have to speak for themselves. Without hesitation, Simon Peter delivers the climax of this passage, saying, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Peter identifies Jesus as the Messiah, the anointed one promised in Israel's scripture, and as the Son of the living God. In this culturally pagan region, Peter acknowledges Jesus as the genuine bearer of the divine authority, contrasting the lifeless idols of the region's prevailing culture, affirming God's true power revealed in him. Jesus responds with blessing. "Blessed you, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." Peter's confession of faith came not because of human reasoning. Jesus says, "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." Faith is therefore presented as a gift of revelation. Peter has truly seen who Jesus really is, not because of acquaintance, but because the Father has opened his eyes. Christian faith begins not with human knowledge or theology of God, but with God's gracious unveiling of truth. Jesus then says, "I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Peter's name, Petros, is related to the word for rock. So some people have misunderstood this passage to imply that Peter is the cornerstone upon which Christ will establish his church. If so, that would violate many scriptures, such as those that state that Jesus is the chief cornerstone in Ephesians 2, verse 20, and that Jesus is the foundation in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. Others see the rock as Peter's confession of faith, while still others emphasize Christ as the ultimate foundation of the church. Jesus' next statement, "I will build my church," is very significant. Clearly, the church belongs to Christ, not to Peter, not to the disciples, not to any leader or institution. Christ is the builder. The church is not a human project. Though people take part, in its mission, it is the community called into being by Jesus, gathered around the confession of who he truly is. Then Jesus promises that the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Hades refers to the realm of death, and gates suggest that cannot finally withstand the power of Christ's church. This does not mean the church advances by worldly force, but in the authority of Christ. It actively bears witness against sin, evil, fear, injustice, and death. Matthew's gospel makes clear that disciples involved suffering and conflict, yet the resurrection of Christ assures us that death does not have the final word. Therefore, the church's mission is not rooted in its own strength, but in Christ's victory over death. Jesus goes on to say, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." A key symbolizes authority. The one who holds it may open or close what is locked. Jesus entrusts his church with kingdom authority to oppose evil, release people from bondage, and act on earth in harmony with heaven's will, not to control heaven, but to serve God's purposes. Finally, Jesus sternly orders the disciples not to tell anyone that he is the Messiah. Though Peter's confession is true, many will misunderstand that the Messiah is a political conqueror. Jesus must first reveal that the Messiah would suffer, die, and rise again. Only then, through the cross and resurrection, can his identity be rightly understood. At the heart of this passage is one question. Who do you say that I am? Jesus says. This question is not merely about information. It is about revelation, faith, identity, mission, and discipleship. I find it too personal when someone asks me the same question. This makes me reflect on my own faith and relationship with Jesus. As Peter confessed, Jesus was the Messiah and Son of the living God. I too have to deepen my understanding. Only then will I believe his identity. It is not enough to have knowledge about Jesus. I must surely know him in my heart. When faced with the question of who Jesus is to me, I strive to respond with the same conviction and understanding as Peter did. The Christian life cannot be lived entirely on borrowed faith. We may inherit beliefs from our family, church, or culture, but Christ's question must become personal. Who do you say that I am? In Peter's confession, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It's more than words. It is surrender to the authority and lordship of Jesus Christ. To confess Jesus rightly is to allow him to reshape our desires, our priorities, our relationships, and our understanding of success. Notice that Peter does not arrive at this confession by his own cleverness. Jesus says it was revealed by the Father. Faith is grace before its achievement. We do not possess Christ as an idea. We receive him as a gift. That should make us humble. If we believe, we do not boast as though we discovered God by our own superiority. We give thanks because God has opened our eyes. At the same time, Peter's confession leads to responsibility. Jesus says, "On this rock I will build my church." Confession is never merely a private life. To say Jesus is Lord is to become part of a people. The church is the community formed around this confession. Thank you for being here. It is imperfect, often wounded, and always in need of reform, but it belongs to Christ. He says, "I will build my church." That promise gives hope when the church seems weak, divided, or discouraged. The passage also reminds us that the church is meant to be active, not passive. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Gates are defensive structures, suggesting that Christ's church advances into places dominated by death, fear, injustice, and despair, carrying the life of the kingdom. Wherever forgiveness is offered, wherever the poor are served, truth is spoken, reconciliation happens, and the gospel is proclaimed, the gate of death is being overcome. The keys of the kingdom are entrusted, not given for pride or domination, but for faithful stewardship and service that reflects the character of Christ who came to serve. The living Christ builds his church on the confession of his identity, promises that the powers of death will not overcome it, and entrust it with kingdom authority and responsibility. Therefore, we are invited to answer his question, not only with our lips, but with our lives. Who do we see Jesus as? If we see he is the Christ, then we are called to trust him, follow him, confess him, and join in his work of bringing life where death has claimed too much ground. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.